Parsha Vayeshev, we know, is a very famous parsha which tells us the story of how Yosef HaTzadik was sold into slavery by his brothers, and that which occurred to Yosef HaTzadik while he was in prison. I'd like to focus today less so on the study of the parsha, although we will deal with certain aspects of the parsha, but rather one medrash which is connected with this parsha. And I'd like today to do something a little bit different, and that is a textual study of a medrash, to be able to try to unveil the deeper meanings of this medrash and clearly their implication for our lives. It happens to be one of my most personal favorite midrashim, and I think it has a tremendous amount of lessons that we can learn from it. The medrash says, Rabbi Yitzchak said, the Torah teaches us that when a person does a mitzvah, he should do so with a complete and happy heart. Had Reuven known that the Torah would record that he attempted to save Yosef from his brothers, he would have put him on his shoulders and run with him home. And if Aaron had known that the Torah would record that he'd be happy when he met Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe was chosen to be the Redeemer, he would have come out with drums and cymbals. And if Boaz had known that the Megillah would record that he gave Ruth some parched grain to eat, he would have given her a royal banquet. And the source for this is the Yalkut Shimoni in Rus. The Medrash ends, a very beautiful end to this Medrash. The Medrash ends, in times past, when a person did a mitzvah, the Navi would write it down. And now, when a person does a mitzvah, who writes it? So the Medrash concludes by saying that Eliyahu and Melech HaMashiach write it down, and it is stamped as if by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Very, very interesting medrash. I think clearly the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what is this medrash trying to say? What is the message of the medrash? Had these people known that it'd be written down about them, they would have acted differently. Is this a reason to act in a certain way? If we know it would be written down, we would have acted differently than if it wasn't written down? And after all, these were great people. Is this a critique of these individuals? Is this a praise of these individuals? Had they known it'd be written down, they would have acted differently if then it wasn't written down? Are we only doing things because things are written down? What is the whole basis of this medrash? What is this medrash trying to teach us? One approach, and not the approach that I like to deal with, but I'd just like to mention because there are myriads of approaches to understanding this medrash, is one that Rabbi Fran brings in his new sefer, Rabbi Fran in the Parsha. He says, this medrash cannot be coming to critique them. He says it cannot be the intent of the medrash, which clearly comes to praise them, not to bury them. But if so, why didn't these three righteous people do the right thing even without the additional publicity? So he says, the issue in all three cases, apparently, was not one of publicity, but of clarity. None of them was certain he was doing the right thing. However, had he known Hashem would endorse his decision and emblazon it in the Torah for all eternity, he would have acted in a much more decisive and resolute way. And he brings us examples. Reuben had to contend with his brothers. As much as Reuben objected to the decision of the majority, could he be absolutely certain that he was right and they were wrong? And that's why he persuaded them to throw Yosef into the pit. Aaron as well was hesitant. Aaron, we know, was the older son, the acknowledged leader of the Jewish people. How would people look at it as if he stepped, when he would step aside in favor of his younger brother? As well as Boaz, afraid of the appearance of impropriety. Had he known Hashem would endorse his actions, he would have laid out a lavish feast for her. And he notes the problem of hesitation in the face of criticism and scorn plagues us in every generation. The prophet Malachi foretells a time just prior to the Messianic era when people will ridicule those who do mitzvot. But Eliyahu, Mashiach, and Hashem himself will give the seal of approval to those with courage to do what is right. The prophet encourages us not to hesitate, not to act tentatively when others accuse us of not being modern enough or progressive enough. We need not worry that we are in minority and our detractors are in the majority. We need to act according to the conviction of our beliefs, and in the end, we will surely be vindicated. And this is one approach to understand this medrash. That these individuals, it wasn't the case had it was known that it was a public act. No. Rather, it means had they known that that which they were doing was really the correct thing. There was a certain amount of doubt and hesitation in their mind. Had they known that this is indeed what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said to them was the correct thing, then these individuals would have acted perhaps in a different manner. And this is our challenge, and the lesson on this level for ourselves is we have to be able to stand firm in that which we believe in, and ultimately we will be vindicated. Having explained this on this level, I'd like to try now to develop two other levels. The first, a little bit more elaborately than the second, the two other levels to explaining this medrash and the meaning for our lives. The first is based on the insights of Rabbi Leff in his book, Outlooks and Insight, where he speaks about that avodah is measured not by quantity, but by how close it comes to perfection. Since Hashem is the ultimate perfection, our goal must be also to achieve the greatest measure of perfection possible for a human being. For we are exhorted to emulate Him and to be complete with Him. This is our challenge in life. Our challenge in life is to try to get as much completeness as possible, as much as a semblance of perfection as possible. As Rabbi Leff notes, we find that we see throughout the Torah and Halacha that completeness and wholeness take precedence over quantity. And the example that he brings is a whole roll, even if it's smaller, takes precedence over a much larger piece of a ready-cut loaf of bread, in terms of saying the Hamotzi. This is the focus in life. And that's why the Gemara in Brachos tells us that the main consideration is that one directs and concentrates his heart toward heaven. What we can control is the intensity of our desire and the purity of our effort in the quest for perfection. And therefore he notes, in each instance cited by the Medrash, there was doubt as to what the proper conduct really was. Reuven was unsure if saving Yosef was proper after the brothers judged him a threat to their existence. If Moshe questioned his suitability to be the Redeemer, Aaron likewise had the right to have reservation concerning his brother's appointment. And similarly, Boaz had grounds for doubt about the convert Ruth, not knowing her true sincerity and character. Hence, they acted without the complete and happy heart that could have made their mitzvahs perfect. And this blemish, and this is different than the first approach, is really a critique, was reflected in the outcome of their actions. Yosef was sold into slavery, the mission to Paro met with initial failure, and David's lineage was questioned. So Rabbi Leff clearly sees that in all three cases, because there was doubt, because there was hesitation, the amount of effort that they put in was not in accordance with the effort and amount that they could have put in. And since, on whatever level, as minute as it may be, there was some level of imperfection in the actions of Reuven, Boaz, as well as Aaron, a Kohen, the result was not as complete as it could have been. There was something lacking. There was some doubt. And this, I believe, my friends, is the first focus and lesson that we need to examine. And that is to always strive for perfection, to always strive for a level to be as complete as possible. The idea that we saw in Parshat Noach of Ben HaMishpatayim, Rabbi Finn, who points out, based on the Baalei Mussar, the Saba Mikelm, he says, Yiladim al tichyu ba'ofen pashut, don't live a life of simplicity. Shim tichyu pashut, if you live a life of simplicity, tisharu pshutim, you'll stay that way. The Zewa mitziyut, this is what life is about. That you can do mitzvot, you can daven, and nonetheless, you'll remain as a simple person. Ba'aleinu tamid lish'of, we always have to strive not to be simple, and that everything we do has to be in order to reach greater and greater heights. Our focus has to be to emulate God in terms of trying to be as perfect as possible. And this is why perhaps, as Rabbi Dessler explains in Mitzvah Eliyahu, translated in English on the Yontif sanctuaries in time, that we have the first luchos as well as the second luchos stored in the Aron. And we know that the first luchos were heavenly level. They were a level where Klal Yisrael returned to Adam HaRishon before the sin. It was the perfected state of Klal Yisrael. And what happened to those luchos? Those luchos were shattered. But yet those shattered luchos were kept in the Aron. Why? So he notes, he says, what happened to the pieces of the tablets which Moshe broke at the foot of the mountain, it may surprise us to learn that they were placed in the ark. And there's a great lesson to be learned from this. Whatever the person's actual spiritual status at the moment, if he's determined to rise higher, he must aim for the top. Our rabbis tell us that a person should always ask, when will my deeds resemble the deeds of my forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? A vision of the very highest is necessary to arouse one from his lethargy to embark on any spiritual journey. And he continues by saying, we must realize that it is possible for us, by determined effort, to achieve such a level of purity of motive and perfection and midot that our interests will no longer conflict with our pursuit of Torah and the service of God. Our level will then be comparable in this respect, at least, with the level of the first tablet. Obviously, tremendous effort will be required, but we have to know that it is well known that every sincere effort we make down here is met by heavenly aid on a vast scale. And this, my friends, is what life is about. Life is about to achieve perfection. Life is about to aim for the top. Life is about to always have in front of us those first luchos. Life is about to tell our children, you should aspire to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, that you should strive to reach these high levels, because this is the vision we need to have. When we aim high, if we reach halfway, so then we've accomplished much more than if we aim for halfway and reach halfway of that. How do we go about achieving levels of perfection? How do we go about bringing this aspect of ourselves to the fore? So I think that perhaps the way to do this is the focus of this medrash. It's the rules of action. It's what Reuven did or did not do by bringing Yosef back. The way Boaz gave to Ruth. The way Aaron met Moshe Rabbeinu. What was demanded of them was a certain amount of actions. And the way to really improve ourselves, the way to perfect ourselves, is not just to sit and think, how can I save Yosef? But rather do an action and carry him back. Not just to greet Moshe Rabbeinu with happiness in your heart, but go out with drums and dancing. This is what is demanded of us. But Reuven and Aleshur develops this idea, and he says, we know the Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaseh, the key in life, as well as the Sefer Chinuch, the very famous line in the Sefer Chinuch, Da Ki Adam Nifal Kefi Pilotav. A person responds to the world of action. A person's mindset is really affected by the world of action that we're in. And this is a famous Rambam that notes that if you want to be able to develop a level of the diva slave, a level of generosity of spirit, it's not enough to think about the generosity of spirit. You have to do it. And it's not enough, let's say, to give $100 to one individual. It's much better to give 100 single dollar bills to 100 different people. Because ki adam nifal kefi pulatav, the more you give, the more you're involved in the action of handing over a dollar bill to somebody else, the greater is the amount of the divus of generosity that you will instill within you. The greater a level that you're bringing yourself and your potential to the fore. This is what we need to work on. We need to work on the aspect of giving, the olam hamaseh, the world of action. Let's try to develop this a little bit deeper, because this is really key for our lives. Before we speak about the famous Ramban, the Ramban, Nachmanides, talks about the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And he says, B'shar yomei breishit hotziya HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol yom davar achad min hakoach ha'hiluli el hapoach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in some sense, created one aspect of potential. And every day of creation, he took from that one aspect of potential and brought it to the fore in the actual. And from there, the whole day of Ma'aseh Breishit happened. And he says, even deeper than this, we know that the 7 days of creation parallel the 7,000 years, the 6,000 years of the world, and the 7,000 being the Yemos HaMashiach. And he says that everything that will happen during those thousands of years, during that period of 1,000 years, is found in potential in the day of creation. The Elif Rishon, Yatsal Apol, Mashaya Galum, B'yom Rishon, V'chulu. That everything that happened in the first 1,000 years was found in potential in the first day of creation, and it just had to come to fore. And he says the following of Wolby, Nimsalafi said, we therefore learn from this. Ki kol habriya ma'atchalat asof, everything from creation from beginning to end. Ki ma'alach achad shel yitziyat mekochot el hapoel. You want to know what the essence of life is about? It's a wonderful description. It's being able to take the world of the actual from the world of the potential. That's what life is about. And that's what our lives are about. Navin kigam ha'adam nivra b'malot b'koach. We too are created with tremendous potential. V'chol avodato b'chayavhi, and our life's work is lohotzi kochot, kochotav el hapoel, to bring those levels of potential to the fore. Not only his own, but that which is found within the Torah as well. Wow. This is what life is about. You know, you take a look at a little child and you see within them, wow, there's so many different character traits in this child and there's so much potential in this child, and you daven and you hope that the child will be able in their lifetime to have individuals and to have experiences that will be able to inspire this child to take all that they have within them and be able to bring it to the world of fruition. And that is indeed how the Ramban Nachmanides notes that famous understanding what the nisayon, what trials and tests of a person are about. On the pasuk of Elohim nisat Abraham, that Akash Baruch Hu tested Abraham, he said, what is the point of a test? The point of the test is not for God to know where you're at, but rather yikran nisayon nisat haminuse, it's for us to know where we are at. And again, lehotzi hadavar amina koach alapoel, to bring that which is in potential into the world of the actual. This is the key. Liyovlo sachar ma'asetov. It's in order to give Avravinu the ma'asetov, the reward for the action. And that's why we know in the story of the Akedah, Avravinu had to sacrifice something. He had to take that aisle, because it wasn't enough just his thought process that he's ready to sacrifice Yitzchak. There had to be a ma'asa, there had to be an action. This is the key in life. The key in life is that the ma'alot and the midot tavot, all are wonderful things within us, mukhrachot, lagia, l'klal, ma'aseh, have to be brought to the world of action. And it goes on by saying, when you do something, achein ma'aseh tov hi yitzirah hadashah, you're creating something new. And that's the beauty. That when things exist in the potential, it exists in a very aloof state. When you actually do that action, so now you've created something new, a entirely new entity. And indeed, this aspect, that thought is not enough, but it's the world of action that brings us to the world of potential, the world of protection, perfection. This is the critique, so to speak, on the level of these three great people, that had they only known, then they would have brought themselves to a world of action and reached this level of perfection. This is the key. That mindset is not enough. The real value of a person, the real test of a person, is in the world of action. And we see this, my friends, in a very interesting Rashi in our parsha. The Rashi speaks about what is the connection between the story of Tamar, who dresses up to be able to have children with Yehuda in order to continue the Davidic line, and we know that Tamar l'shem shamayim nitkavna, that she meant it for the sake of heaven. And then when she was when Yehuda approached her and said, how could you, you know, be unfaithful to me and my family by having relations with somebody? She was ready not to embarrass Yehuda. She was ready to burn. She was a tremendous righteous person. Why is this story juxtaposed with the story of Mrs. Potiphar, Aisha Potiphar, who was trying to seduce Yosef? So says Rashi, Mazu l'shem shemayim, avzu l'shem shemayim. Both of them were doing it for the sake of heaven. Wow. What a difference between the sake of heaven. One was for the sake of heaven, was ready to die and not embarrass another individual. And the other one, when push came to shove, when it came to the world of action, what does she do? She accuses Yosef HaTzadik of this terrible, terrible crime and throws him in prison. It's not enough to have L'shem Shemayim, that Mrs. Potiphar saw in her stars that she was going to have a child from Yosef. It's not enough, this world. How do you behave in the world of the actual? And that's the key. That's the difference. Yes, maybe Mrs. Potiphar and Tamar were both L'shem Shemayim. But what a world apart Mrs. Potiphar is from Tamar. And you know what the difference is? Because when the things come into the fore, into the world of the practical, the world of the action, now how do you behave? That's the real guide and measure to know where a person stands. It's where are they at in the world of action. And this explains so beautifully a medrash in Parshas Bechukotai, where the pasuk says, "Im bechukotai teilechi, if you go in my ways, that mi society shmoru and keep my mitzvos, vasitem otam, and you do them. Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chaninya, im shamartem et Torah, if you do the Torah, if you keep the Torah, hareini me'ale alechem, I will consider it as if ki'ilu atem asitem atzvachem, as if you created yourself." We don't read it vasitem otam, but rather vasitem atem, that it's as if you've made yourself. Says Rav Wolbe on this, Hashomer Torah l'maaseh, one who keeps the Torah in the world of action, it's as if ki'ilu yatzara tamitzot atzman, this created the mitzvot themselves, because the kiyum of the mitzvah really stems from being able to withstand all the difficult obstacles and tests that come along a person's way, to stop a person from bringing ideas into the world of action. If you're nonetheless able to take that which is found in the Shulchan Aruch, which is a world of potential, and bring it into the world of action, that is truly greatness. It's as if you made yourself anew, and therefore you become le'ish acher, a different person. Without mitzvos, without the world of action, you're an adam bekoach. You're a person just of potential. So let's understand, my friends, till now, that Reuven, Boaz, as well as Aaron, had they known that which they were going to do would have tremendous effects, they would have done the action, but totally. And then there would not have been the negative repercussions that would have been. What does this mean? What is the lesson? It means that they kept their ideas in the world of ideas and did not bring it down into the world of the maaseh, into the world of the actions like they should have. In order to reach a level of perfection, you have to bring it to a level of maaseh, to the world of action. And when you do so, vasitem otam, vasitem atem, it's as if you've created yourself. You become a new entity. You become a new persona. Because you're able to take what life is about, the world of the potential, and bring it to the world of the actual. But you know what, my friends? It goes one step further than this even. As Rabbi Finn notes in Ben HaMishpatayim again, he says, "Dechol ma sha'adam po'el ba'olam hazeh harehu koneh ma'alot b'nafsho." That which you are able to affect in this world, it's not just that you created the world of action, but you're able to then acquire a certain ma'alot ha'nefesh. You're able to acquire certain characteristics of your soul that become part of your genetic spiritual DNA. And this is what the Gemara perhaps means. When the Gemara in Sota says, Amar Rabbi Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Yosef Shekideh Shem Shemayim, Yosef who sanctified God's name, but sat there quietly. In private, Hosifu Alav Otechah Mishmol Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu added one letter to his name. He's called Yehosef in Tehillim. Yehuda Shekideh Shem Shemayim Beferhesia. Yehuda, who's able to sanctify God's name publicly by saying Tzadkei Meni, she's more righteous than me. Nikra Kulo Shmol Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's called entirely on God's name. Explains the Ben HaMishpatayim. This aspect of Yehuda, who was able to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Farheska, he was able to take this into the world of action. It becomes part of Yehuda forever. Ba'as Zacha B'Zeh Yehuda L'Darot. We find this aspect of Mesiris Nefesh, the ability to sanctify God's name in Shevet Yehuda, whether it's Nachshon Ben Aminadav, who's ready to jump into the sea first, whether it's Hur, who's ready to stop the people in the Maisa Ego. This has become part and parcel of the genetic makeup of Yehuda. V'ro'im anu mizeh yesod gadol, says the Ben HaMishpatayim, we see here a very important fundamental principle. The kochot ha'nefesh in the aspects of our potential, of our strength. Shema sha'adam otzi'a lapoa, that which a person brings to the fore, that is something that's going to be his and generations of, for him for years to come. This is the key, my friends. When we come into the world of action and we're able to overcome so many obstacles in life, every action we do, there's a temptation against us from doing that. Don't say bracha with kavana. Don't smile when you do this mitzvah. Whatever it is, you're able to overcome those obstacles, you're able to overcome those negative temptations, and you're able to bring this to the world of the ma'aseh. So it's not only that you've created an entity called a mitzvah, you've created yourself. And not only have you created yourself, you've created a kinyan in your nefesh that has ramifications for dorei doros, for so many generations. This is the key of what life is about. And this is as well the key of what Yisurim are about, as well what difficulties are about. The Medrash, which our parasha begins with, Abikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva Kafat Alav Rogzal Shel Yosef. Yaakov wanted to sit peacefully, and the whole aspect, the story of Yosef, ascended upon him. Because Sadiqim do not sit in this world peacefully. What this world is about is for a person to undergo different stages of challenges in life, because that's the way you're going to become better. Life is not about being passive. Life is about responding. Life is about the world of action. Life is about challenges, because it's only through challenges that a person grows. It's only through being able to have to confront different aspects of life and being able to overcome those confrontations that you are able to then become a different type of person, and this is what the world is about. Which ties in as well to Hanukkah, which is right around the corner, where he notes that the aspect of Hanukkah, the whole story of Hanukkah, the Bach tells us, was because they were Shnei Rashlu Bavodah, they were lazy in the work in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore there was a Gzeira Levatel Mehemet Avodah, that the Gzeira was there for measure for measure, that they had to stop working in the Beis HaMikdash. And it was when they were Moser Nefesh and they were able to rectify that which they did wrong, they were able, through those very Kohanim serving the Beis HaMikdash, to be able to once again be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. V'hein heina yusirin v'mesirus nefesh avotenu akdoshim shamdu l'chol hadarot haba'im achareihem shepach Hashem in or of Torah yishair b'tarato ad yameinu elu bezrat Hashem yifarach. What the Hashmonaim did was to take that aspect which was weak and use that in order to strengthen themselves. And then that becomes part of the genetic DNA of Hanukkah, where Hanukkah is a time of mysterious nefesh. Hanukkah is a time to stand up for what you believe in. They've been enabled to embed within Hanukkah this aspect of mysterious nefesh, which comes for us a persume nisa, a publicizing of the miracle that we're able to withstand and stand up to all the negative influences around us, because we understand what it means, that mysterious nefesh, which they did, which we still feel until today. This, my friends, is level number two, the first level we did in depth of the understanding of the Medrash, where we find that indeed there is some level of greatness that could have been achieved had they recognized the great value in that which they were doing, that we need to strive for perfection, and the way to strive for perfection is in the world of action, to take the potential and move it into the world of action, not only for ourselves, but for generations to come as well. Let's take a look briefly at the third level, second aspect in depth. And that's based on the writings of the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva Rav Lach Zatzal in Shirei Das. He says, what does it mean that something is written down? Is it that, again, as Rabbi Friend noted, that we're some type of publicity hound, that we need things to be written down? He says, not at all. He says, we need to understand that when something is written down in the Torah, because we know many things are not written down, that rather anything that's written down, he says, Harei ma'aseh zeh shepa'alu asar roshem bibriyah v'nipalta ba'orot hasher Torah misharasha v'ad sofa. Any action that was done in the Torah has an effect on the entire world of the creation. It is embedded into what the whole essence of the Torah is about. Shatarak kayemet leolam v'nishmat adam shigam ken leolam ne'aneh mizeh shemasav nizkarim v'nasim chelek haTorah lanetzach. Your world of action is something that's part of eternity. It's something that has repercussions on the entire way the world is running, the entire way the world is functioning. That's what it means to be written down or not to be written down. And with this, we can understand the hesitation of these three individuals. When they acted the way they acted, they did not know that that which they were doing was such an important aspect that it would be something that it would be a ma'orashi or a'o tonir shema b'kitvei kodesh, that it would be something that would be written down. They didn't recognize inherently in any of those actions. They just thought it was a ma'aseh kalu, something simple that they did. But they didn't understand ki erech historia shalzeh. They didn't understand the ramifications of that which they were doing. In all three cases, they looked at the situation from a very specific point. Had they known the implications of their action, had they known that this would be part of the fabric of what the Torah in its nitzchiyah state, in its eternal state, would be about, then they would have acted differently. Then they would have acted more completely. Had they known, in all three cases, had Reuven known that what to save Yosef would be a binyan olam chalko, this would be the key aspect that would have affected the entire story, the story of Yosef, he would have acted differently. Had Aaron recognized that if he had acted this way for his brother, Nitazer Moshe Yado Chaya Lalecha B'shukuto Shamakom B'meretz V'oz Lotia B'nei Yisrael Meretz Yisrael, had Aaron recognized that this action would have affected Moshe Rabbeinu to give him the confidence and encouragement to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, had Boaz recognized that this would have made the Gioret, the convert, Rut, feel better, had they recognized these things, then they would have acted in a different way. V'lachein hayada ish lachshiv v'larich et erech eza davar tov shulsa. Do we really know, when we do an action, the larger implications? Halo yesh asher nidmelo kedavar katan v'kal. Very often we look at things as small things. Ubemet hakatuv machtiv alav maaseh zeh shasa, and yet the Torah tells us the action that they did. V'lachein tzaricha adam, therefore a person has to do the mitzvos b'leiv shalem, with a whole heart, v'sameach, and with joy. V'lahavin, and this is the key to understand, ki afilu mitzvah kala, even a simple mitzvah. Yesh b'kocha has its an ability, lif'ol b'vinyan ha'olam, to affect the entire world. And that's what Chazal mean, ilu haya yodea, had they known the power of small actions and the way that affects the larger world. And continues, the tells of Rosh Yeshiva and says, and now that we don't have a Navi, who writes it down? What does this mean? It means, even though we don't have the Kitvei Kodesh, the Tanakh really being written down in the form that we have of the 24 books, nevertheless, the person should recognize that Ma'asei B'nei Adam Pu'olotayhem, our actions and our deeds, are what's going to bring Sof Kol Sof Et Ha'olam L'Tachlito, ultimately the world to the end. The Chol Zman Shelo Higia Adayin Ha'et Hazod, and all the time that we have not reached this grand finale. V'adai for certain Sheyeshna Mitzvot Ka'elu. There are definitely mitzvot. Shepo'olot B'vinyan Ha'briyah. There are still mitzvot that are done that have this effect, that are bringing the world to its completion. And who writes it down? And here, says the Tovi Rosh Yeshiva, Kan Megaleh Lanu HaMidrash Chidush Gadol, the Medrash is telling us a great Chiddush. Ki Lo Nigmaru Kitvei HaKodesh B'Sher Hashem. The root, the essence of the Tanakh has not been finished writing it. It's still being written in every generation. And although we don't have a Navi, we don't have a prophet to write them down, it's still Eliyahu HaNavi and the Melech HaMashiach. These are standing and waiting. When is the end going to come? And they look at every action, and they look at every deed. Those that bring closer the ultimate goal, and those, God forbid, that bring it further. Heim kotvim kol mitzvah shesh erach takliti, v'kadosh baruch hu chotem al yadam, and God seals them. Wow. Let's understand this. It's very powerful. If we understand that every action that's found in the, written in the Tanakh, and it's a wonderful perspective to learn Tanakh with, is something that has a grand effect on a much larger level than we understand it. And that's why the story of Avram and the Kishon Aish is not written down. What happened to Moshe for so many years is not written down before he comes back to Egypt. These stories aren't written down because they don't have that ultimate ability to affect that spiritual world. But every action that's written down, every action has this rubric, has this impact, has this ripple effect. It's part of the genetic DNA of what Klal Yisrael, of what Knesset Yisrael is all about. And that's what Reuven, Boaz, and Aaron were not familiar with. They didn't recognize that even in a small action, it could be something which has ripple effects for the end of time. And that's the lesson that we need to learn. That which we do in our lives, as small as it may be, helping somebody out, lending a hand when a hand needs to be lent, in the quietest way when we think nobody sees it, do it b'leiv shalem, do it with a complete heart, because you are also part, potentially, of the Kitvei HaKodesh, of the book that's written down to ultimately bring the world to its completion. The stories are still being written. Melech HaMashiach and Eliyahu are standing there looking for those stories that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chotem, seals those stories as part of the continuation of the Kitvei HaKodesh. Because each person has the ability to affect the genetic DNA of Klal Yisrael. Can you imagine the power that each of us has? And that message of the Medrash has to resonate within each and every one of us. Ilu Haya Yodea, if we had only known, if we only would recognize, because of it, that we too are in a similar situation, that our actions also have the ability to lead very far. Perhaps we'll end with one final idea, where the Leket Sichos Musar said, if we take a look at the examples of Reuven and Aaron, I can understand that they should have been involved in these wonderful things of bringing Yosef back and of greeting Moshe Rabbeinu with a full heart, with drums and a parade, etc. But how can you fault Boaz for not offering her a full fat meal of cows, etc.? He's in the field. He only has some parched grain there. I mean, please. So he says, Vosifu chazal uva'er digambe maseu shaboah taitapik imabishle muto. There was something lacking in this completeness, similar to that of Reuven and Aaron. She'ilu haya boaz mitmonem b'maseu. Because had Boaz really looked into his action, lo haya mistapek b'chesed asher asa imrut lo shiva etzel shulchano v'lachilat mipito. It wouldn't have been sufficient just to feed him bread, her bread, but he would have made sure to feed her a fat meal. And he concludes by saying, Ela al korcha l'medim anu, we learn here a great chiddush from our rabbis. Shebechol ma'aseh pashut shagmilus chesed. Every small act of kindness, erko ram v'nisa, its ramifications are tremendous. Shekein tunim bo inyanim gvohim v'niskavim, there are many great things that are found within it. Ad kedei b'niyat machut beit David v'tzirat melech Mashiach, in this case, the building of the Messianic line. Kefi shachein hayasafo sholto chesed emrut. V'i ata yodea matan charan shal mitzvot. We don't know the outcome, the reward of mitzvot. V'i ata yodea omek tototeyem shal mitzvot. And we don't know the effects of mitzvot. V'al kein, and therefore ein lecha labid al maseh chitoni kemo shehu. Don't be satisfied with the external way a mitzvah looks. Ela amkos haniflaa tunabo asher totzatah niskavim lamala lamala. Be ready to recognize the greatness inherent in that which we do. Be able to recognize in every mitzvah we do that it's demanded of us to try to do it in the best way possible. Because we have no idea how that one nice thing that we say, how that one thing that's going to help another person is going to have such major effects. It's going to lead to the creation of the Melech HaMashiach, or lead to the bringing of the Melech HaMashiach. So I think, in conclusion, what we've seen in this one Medrash is worlds for our lives. And it really has one key component, and that's the power of action. That in life we are demanded of us to recognize that it's not enough just to have good thoughts. We have to bring it to the world of action without hesitation. And that life is about bringing from the world of potential to the world of the actual. But we need to recognize, and this is the key, that it's not only a question of that which they have done then, it's a question of us today. That our actions are also being scrutinized every moment by Eliyahu HaNavi and Melech HaMashiach. They too are being written down in the rubric, potentially, of the Kitvei HaKodesh, of that which is going to bring about that small thing, that small gesture, bring the Mashiach one moment closer, 1 hour closer, 1 day closer. And therefore, in everything that we do, we have to invest our total being into that which we do, to strive to do it the best way possible. Where Boaz, on some levels, faltered for not giving her a royal banquet, even though they were out in the field. Because you never know how a small action, what it can lead to, what are the results. And we need in our lives to take inspiration from this Medrash, to really examine our own lives and see how much potential is inherent within us. Do we bring that potential to the world of the actual? When we do that, do we do it with a full heart? Do we aim for perfection? Do we aim for those first tablets that we're able to see greatness, that we're able to reach great heights, and that we're able to invest in that which we do, the understanding that we too are part and parcel of that messianic vision of bringing the Melech HaMashiach closer, and therefore when we act the way we do, we take the lesson. Had only they known that these small actions would have been written down in the Kitvei HaKodesh, make that our inspiration, and allow that to inspire us when we act, to act with a complete heart, with simcha, with love, with joy, and be able to bring our potential to the world of the actual in the best way possible.